Proverbs. Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. So, the first thing in child raising is training. And training is not discipline. Training is not instruction. You have to learn how the Bible talks in order to know how to raise children. So training a child starts before they can talk. Training a child starts before they're spanked. Training is the foundation of discipline, as discipline is the foundation of instruction. So, we want to look tonight at how the Bible teaches us to train a child. How do you train a child? When he's old, he won't depart from it. So if you train a child properly, you won't have to discipline them so much. And then you can instruct them easily. But if you don't train a child in the way he should go when he is young, then you will have to discipline him later in such a way that he probably will never be instructed. At the most, he will be a reluctant hypocrite. So training is the key to discipline, which is the key to instruction. Now, to train up a child, chanik or chanak, chanak or chanik. To train a child is similar to the Greek word paideia, which is a form of instruction, is how you instruct a child. I hope I can explain this in such a way, since you're not familiar with these differences, that you can get a hold of it and see, this is why that parent disciplined the child and thought it was training. Or they tried to instruct the child in the ways of the Lord, for example, but nothing came of it. This is why, is because there was a misunderstanding. The Bible always grounds its teaching in the same order. Training, then, is first. So, the authority of training is not a simple thing. It's got several factors to it. So, if you train a child, first of all, you have to be present. A parent who wants to train a child has to have the child there. You have to be with the child. You have to be present with the child. So that's important, is spend a lot of time with the child. The mother particularly is going to spend a lot of time with that child. You're nourishing the child, you're caring for the child, you're feeding the child, you're doing all kinds of things, but it's part of training, as part of the training. So the child is learning the pleasure of being with the mother, to feed it, to hold it, to watch over it, and so on and so forth. No discipline, no instruction, just simply training. So when you train a child, you have to be present with the child. So that's the first thing. And I'm going to write these down because otherwise you won't see the richness of what the Bible calls, and why there's very little authority in the world today, why we are unteachable today, why there's an unteachable generation even in the church. So I told you that the word ha-nak, or hanik, I'll say ik, okay? So this is hanik. It's the word for training. Hanak, hanik. Same as the Greek word paideia, okay? So p-i-d-a, paideia, okay? So that's the Greek word. So there is the Hebrew and there is the Greek. Now, it starts with presence. You have to be present with the child and spend time together with the child. And of course, this is natural because the child needs to be fed. And whether it's bottle feeding or breastfeeding, there has to be a lot of time spent. But in any event, a child is totally helpless in the first year or so. And therefore, you have to watch over the child continually, constantly attending to it. So a child is naturally going to be trained. But you can train them wrong or you can train them right. So, but the child will be trained. Now, the next form of authority is not just presence, but is voice. You train a child by the authority of your voice. So, you particularly learn the word no. Although you learn many words, one of the words you learn is no. And in training, no is vital. A lot of people with modern training don't like the word no. They want everything to be positive. This is a satanic, evil teaching. You will not be able to train a child in a positive manner only. You have to have both. And so most people today refuse to discipline their children and they refuse to train their children. Therefore, they cannot instruct their children. So your presence, being present, that's the first form of authority, authority. And I'm going to write this in the Greek so you can see where the word authority comes from in a minute. But number two is your voice. Your voice, hear, O Israel. You know, God was speaking to his people. So first of all, God is present. God came into the garden. He appeared. He showed up. Jesus came on the earth. Hear, O Israel, or hear my voice, or hear what the Spirit says. So the first thing is you have to be present to give your voice. And even if God himself doesn't show up right away, he sends someone to speak for him, a prophet, a savior, a king, somebody, to show up and speak this voice. So parent training is both presence and voice, in that there's the authority of the presence and there's the authority of the voice. Both of those are authority. Now the Greek word is ekousia or ekousia. So exousia, ek, coming out of ousia, which is reality, substance, something up in heaven. There is no substance on the earth. So authority is not an earthly thing. Human authority, if it doesn't come from above, if it isn't grounded above, it's just your own arbitrary thing. It's tyranny. It's despotism. It's just simply human imposition, totally arbitrary, and has no value. So a lot of parent training is worthless. Because you really aren't training the child in the way he should go. You're training the way you want him to go, but that's not the way he should go. You're not God. So if you have authority, the authority of your presence ought to be from God. I'm your parent. God made you your parent. So therefore, I'm there. I'm nourishing you, cherishing you. I'm taking care of you. I'm feeding you, clothing you. I'm with you. I'm watching over you, you know, protecting you. And a child likes that. That's a very pleasant experience. So there's a lot of pleasure in that and no pain. That is a pleasurable thing. So the child is learning from the beginning a thing called relationship. Relationship, long before obedience. Long before obedience. So here I would call this presence or being present. I should have wrote being present. But it's a relationship of the parent to the child. I probably shouldn't be writing in red, because you probably can't see it. But the authority then, exousia, out of being, out of reality, out of what is ousia, the thing, the reality. So this is heaven, not earth. Exousia, then, is anything on the earth that has authority is present with the Lord. It's in relationship to the Lord. It's in line with the Lord. And then the voice, you remember in the beginning, God said and God said and God said and God said, so that's his voice. Now, with that voice, he's able to say something. Then there was another voice, and the serpent said. Do you remember that second voice? That one has no authority. It's speaking, but not from heaven. So Satan's voice has no authority, even though it's a voice, because his authority is to lead you astray. It's to steal, kill, destroy. It's a destructive voice. It's an outside voice, not one with foundation in heaven. Has no foundation. Therefore, he's going to lead you astray. So this relationship that you develop with the parent, which is a very happy, pleasant relationship, I'll make a smiley face here, a very happy or pleasant thing, is then associated with this voice. So here I'm hearing my mother's voice. I'm hearing my father's voice. And my mother's voice is pleasant. My mother's voice is pleasant because maybe she's singing to me. Maybe she's just speaking to me because I'm only, 3 weeks old. I'm only, even before I'm born, I can hear her voice. So my mother is speaking to me and I can hear her. So mother's voices are familiar to a child. A stranger's voice they will not hear. If somebody else speaks, that child is used to the mother and not used to someone else. So they'll have to get used to another person. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," meaning we're listening to the one that's present with us, who is my shepherd, who's close to me, who's intimate with me, who's present with me, and then speaking. So there's an authority to that one who's present. There's an authority to that one who speaks. And a stranger's voice they will not follow. They will not. So a child, you can see this in a young child, they don't know your voice, don't know who you are. Even if you say the same words, "No, that's not my mother's voice. That's not my father's voice. I'm used to the one that's over me, who has higher authority, who has authority over me." So the problem today in today's world is there is no authority. I'm going to repeat that so you can hear me clearly. There's no authority in today's world. Even I have no authority. So the only way you could get authority today is if God Almighty, told you by revelation to listen. Because you yourself are not used to authority. You're used to rebellion. You're used to independence. You're used to protecting yourself. You're used to, foraging for yourself. You have no parent. You have no higher authority in your life. You have no one to trust. Now, Sunday night may be a little different, that many of you have come here Sunday night, showing that you probably believe I may have some authority, and that's a little stronger than Sunday morning. Sunday morning is entertainment. Sunday night, a little more serious. There, someone might think he has something to say from God, exousia, something from on high. And so authority is absent in our world. Not completely, absolutely, but to a great extent. There's very little authority in the world today. And as I taught you this morning in this morning service, if it is authority, it should be followed by signs and wonders. It should be followed by power. It should be followed by some confirmation of the word that was just preached should actually end up in someone obeying or being transformed or something happening that would show that God's kingdom was greater than earth's kingdom. So there's a battle of kingdoms going on. And when you child raise, you learn that child raising has a lot to do with which kingdom they're going to belong to. Which kingdom? They're going to fight you from the flesh kingdom against your spiritual kingdom if you're a parent that's training them up in the way of the Lord, in the way they should go. So child training or raising is something very important. And what you're training then is the authority of obedience. What you're training them is, "I want you to do what I say." Okay, no discipline now, just simply by voice, my presence, saying to you, "No." So now, they hear my voice, they see my pleasant face, and they want to please me. The child is wanting to please me because I'm the one that nourished the child. I'm the one that cared for the child. I'm the one that feeds the child. I'm the one that protects him. When something goes wrong, he clings to me. And children, little children, small children, are then easily teachable because they want to learn to be trained by the parent that loved them. Love trains. So love is your first training in relationship. You're not learning something in a school setting. You're learning something in a relationship at home where you've been taught to hear that voice and trust that voice. So you're learning trust. So there's the authority then of the one that's present with you who's speaking with the voice that you can trust and obey. So I'm going to write that down as the third part of training, is you learn to trust and obey. Now, this is not good. I should not have written, I can tell even here, I can't even see it. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So trust is something that the parent develops with the child, and therefore the child is ready to obey. Now, I want to go into it more deeply. So as the Bible is teaching us about God being present, either directly himself, but usually through someone, he's going to speak to us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and so on. He's going to speak to us. Hear the voice of the Lord, you know, and so on and so forth. So that voice is important. So a mother trains a child, and I'm going to use this in a very simple way that you'll understand. A mother trains a child by putting the tree in the middle of the garden. You know, the tree, wish I had something flat here to put it on, but so there's the tree, it's right there. Now, how close is that child to that tree? Well, it's right in the middle, so it's within the reach of the child. Now, how am I going to teach that child not to eat that tree? One way is to remove the tree. That's the way most parents do it. They just remove the tree. Another way, and God doesn't, he puts it within the reach and says no. So you do not train a child by putting it outside his reach, because then, of course, you haven't trained him. He has no training. So you put the tree right there, and you say, no. Now, there's my presence, and there's my voice. The presence of someone who's nourished you, cherished you, you love, it's pleasant. That pleasant voice is saying, in a very soft, regular, normal voice, no. Now, it's within my reach. Another way is nag at the child. That's another way to try to train that child. It's not training. It's training, but it's the wrong kind of training. And so you say, I told you not to do that. Now, you heard not only my voice, but you heard the tone of my voice. You heard the decibels of my voice. I raised my voice a bit and may have put my eyebrow in a certain way. And so I'm training you. Now, I don't want to show all the wrong ways to train. I want to show the right way, but just to indicate to you there are many wrong ways to do it, and most of those wrong ways are what are practiced today. Most parents either try to make the, fix the house in such a way that a kid can't get into the drawer, he can't do this, or, you know, it's all very, you know, out of his reach kind of thing. It can't get in that door and so on. So he's trained actually to be a rebel, but he just can't get in the door, but he wants to. So you haven't trained him. There is no training there. You've just simply nagged at him and yelled at him and frightened him like that. And that's a kind of training, but it's not to train up the child in the way he should go. That's why God put the tree right there. And you can look at it every day. And you hear his voice say, no. Don't touch that. Now, you can do this in a few hours. You could train a child in a few hours. And I did. I remember the hour of the day that I trained Kara for the rest of her life to obey me. It's just, you know, it's not going to take a long, long time. But if it did, it would. But I'm going to win the battle. This is one battle I'm going to win. It's the only battle I'll have to win for the rest of my life. If I win this battle, I win the war forever. So you train the child by saying, you shall not eat of this tree right here. You shall not. Now, you have a relationship to me. Kara has a relationship. She knows my voice. She knows mom's voice. And she, if I would say no and mother will say yes, she'll run to mother. You know, let's say the father is disciplining the child and the child doesn't like it. And you can tell he's going to rebel. And he look over to mother. Mother, save me from daddy. You know, now if the mother is foolish, she will, oh, you poor little sweetie. And win the child's affection for that and learn rebellion for the rest of that child's life. Did you hear what I just said? So when a child is learning this training period, you must not play that the parents are divided one against another, because you've just trained that child to do that for the rest of his life. You've trained him always, you know, go with those that you can manipulate and trick, and always avoid those that are painful and so on. So you just did a training. It's the wrong kind of training. The right kind is where you put the tree right there and you say no. And both parents agree to that. Both parents agree that you shall not do that. Now, the child is going to do it because you put it right within their reach. But you're training them. So now I'm training this child, and so I say no, and I don't like to give the same examples, but it's the one that we actually had, so I'm going to use it. She was sitting in her high chair. She had a bowl of porridge or, you know, whatever it was, oatmeal or something, some mushy something, some kind of cereal. She had a bowl of cereal in her on her plate, and she was playing with it. Every child does it. And so as she was playing with it, she was, you know, smearing it around, you know, and how they can put it everywhere and so on and so forth. And she decided to dump her bowl. She decided she'd dump it on the floor or dump it on the tray or whatever. And I said to her, no. And so now, when you say no to a young child whom you have loved, you have been present with them, you have a loving relationship with them, you have used your voice calmly, as I just have, just talking to you now in a calm voice, because you can train them, only listen to me when I yell. So I can say no 100 times and they won't listen until I yell, because you've trained them. But you also can train them to listen to your soft voice, just your normal voice, no. And I don't have to say it twice, I can say it one time, no. Okay, so the child then, hearing my no, will hesitate. Every child will do this who's been trained. They will listen to your voice, no. And they have no clue as to what that is because you've never backed it up. It's just interesting. It's an interesting concept. But the tree's right here. The bowl is right here. It's within my reach. In fact, I'm holding it. And so in her case, she was holding the bowl. And so when I said no to her, she was just about to dump it, and she heard me say no. She knew that word, no. But what did it mean? What on earth could it mean to someone who's never been spanked, never been disciplined? What would that word mean? But it made her pause for a moment. Daddy said no. Now she wants to please me. But she also wants to dump this bowl. She's bored or just interested, curious what dump looks like or whatever. But she does not want to obey me in that moment, right? Even though we've had a relationship, I've been present, she knows my voice, so I say to her, no. And she then goes to dump it anyway. She just decides, I think I'll disregard his voice because I don't know if he means it or not. I don't even know what no means exactly, but I know he's saying something. No. So she goes to dump the bowl and puts it on the plate, puts it on the tray. A little, I think it was stainless steel, so that's not too bad. So it's a stainless steel. Could have been wood. It could have been plastic. But I think ours was stainless steel. And so she dumps it on there, and I say to her, no. Now, I added a little tone to that, no. It was no, and now it's no. Did you hear the difference? No. No. No, but not too loud because I'm training her. If I do it too loudly or if I have to say it 6 times, I'm training her. So we cannot go on too many times because I'm going to establish something here is when I say no in any tone, I want you to obey me. So Kara heard me say no, went ahead and dumped it anyway. So I, without any fury, any anger, any change of anything, carefully scoop all of the stuff back up into the little bowl, set it there, and I repeat the word, no. Now, I'm looking directly at her. She's looking directly at me. And we're going to have a war here. It's going to be a war. Somebody's going to win this battle. It's going to be me. I'm going to win this battle. So I say to her, no. And now she realizes, what am I going to do now? So, looking at me and realizing I wasn't furious or I didn't raise my voice loudly, but it is firm. I was firm, but not loud. Does that make sense? Firm, but not loud. I then put the bowl back there within her reach. There she is again with the little tree there. And now that tree is now associated with the word no. Whatever she's about to do, she has put that together with her loving father telling her with a word, with the authority of the word, no. So she looks down at the bowl, looks up at me, dumps the bowl again. It just deliberately defied me. And she's looking still at me like, what? What? So she dumps the bowl again, and I say to her again in the same firm word, no. So I scoop it up patiently, put it back in the bowl, and put the bowl right there again, right in front of her. Now, This time it's going to be, we're upping the ante. We're upping the ante. Because I've done nothing but say no, two times associated the word no with a negative behavior, because I'm training the child. I'm not punishing the child, I'm training the child. There's a difference. I'm not disciplining. I'm training. And what I'm training her to do is hear my voice, see that I'm present, see that I'm there, I love her, but also hear me associating that with, you will trust and obey me. When I say no, that means you will trust me. You will not trust yourself. You will not lean to your own understanding. You will trust me. No. And again, for a third time, she's going to dump it, but not this time on the tray, but on the floor. And so, she dumps it right on the floor. And as she dumps it on the floor, I say, no. And I scoop it up off the floor, put it on. Now it's getting serious because she's reaching out as far. She wants to know exactly how far this thing is going to go before Dad does anything. And he hadn't done anything yet. So it's a game. It's a game. It is fun. Now, to show you that how fun this is, watch the next time. So I put it all back, and I say to her now, very firmly, no. Okay, it sounds like a no. So she's got that associated. And so she takes it in her hand and flicks it right into my face. She flicks it right into my face. Like, this is a fun game, Dad. And you like to play with me, because we always play together, see? So she's playing with me. And whatever that word no means, she's not going to pay attention to it. The day you eat of it, you will die. The day you go on your own, independent from your father, from your mother, you're going to die spiritually. So I can't let her win. I'm not going to let her win. She's going to learn, but I'm not going to discipline her in any serious way at all. I'm just simply going to teach her this concept of no, that I'm the boss, there's higher authority in this family, and you will do what I say. Now remember, she loves me and I love her. And we have a relationship, and I'm present. Remember that I've associated my voice with the word no, which she understands. She understands that she's not just to act without checking with whatever that word no means. She's got to check with that word, so she has to give an account to me. Dad is saying something to interrupt what she was about to do, and now she flicked it into my face. And so we're about to then discover not Dad's rage, not Dad's anger, but Dad's anger at the disobedience. So I'm going to teach her trust and obey. So I then say to her, I said no. And I hit her hand. Not hard, not even as hard as I did. But I hit her hand in a way that she can feel the sting of it. And she then just kind of stunned. She's just kind of stunned. And I know what she was thinking. She was thinking, you dirty rat. You who have loved me all these months, just put a pain on me. You have never done that before in your whole life. But she's not saying any of those words, but I know what she's thinking. Like, you are an enemy, and I'm not going to put up with this. And so, all of a sudden, the sting must have run up her arm, because then she went, ah, and she broke out into a big cry. So now she knows there is real pain associated with this word no, plus my presence. Did you all follow that? I'm going through something very detailed to show you how I trained my daughter for life in just 10 minutes. For the rest of her life, she would obey. So then she is not even certain at this point. She just does not grasp this at all. We've always played, and this is not play. That little hit on the hand like that was not play. There's something serious going on here. Now, she does not know what the next reinforcement will be. So, she again takes a scoop of it, throws it right into my face, defiantly now. Defiantly. She's now defying my authority and saying, I have no idea what the word no means, but it sounds like you're not wanting me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I'm going to take advantage of your love to me and not any anger toward me, because you've never shown any. And so I hit her hand again like this. She started crying. And now the pain is so much, she doesn't want to throw anymore. You see, I won the battle. I've just won the battle. But immediately then, I pick her up into my arms, pull her out of the chair, pick her up into my arms and hold her while she's sobbing and crying. Now I just trained her forever. Did you all see that? It's very simple. God exactly trains us that way. Train up a child in the way you should go when they're old. From now on, she knows that that word no, without any spanking at all tied to it, is enough to associate that voice, quiet, with that whatever activity she's doing. And she knows she'll run right to me. She'll run right to me or to mom. And she knows, I don't want to displease you. I don't want that pain anymore. I want to have the we've had what, a year or more of pleasant relationship, now relationship unpleasant. Just something unusual just came in. Do you see now how discipline and instruction is built upon training? You are trained by the word no. Later, when she has more words, she didn't have words even at that point. It has nothing to do with words. This is before words. I don't even remember what age she is at this point, but she's not speaking. She's just simply learning my voice. Remember how she's watched me, she's loved me, we've played together, she's giggled. You know, we've done all kinds of things, so everything's pleasant in our relationship until we come to this bowl, to this tree that's planted right there in the midst of the garden. Easy within reach, and I say no. Now, from now on, every time she goes to do something and I say the word no, she remembers. It did not please my father. I didn't please my father when he says no. And even if she goes ahead and does it, she's going to disobey to do it because she knows she has to check with him. She'll look over. She'll look over. You see, because I trained her that that word no could be followed by a hit on the hand. No spanking, just a hit on the hand, a thump, you know, some kind of little thing that lets her know, no. So I taught her the concept. I was present with her, loved her, because I cared, because I loved her. I continued to nourish her and cherish her, read her Bible at night, pray with her, you know, whatever. I'm doing all the normal kind of things. I'm training her in a relationship. In relationships, you are not the higher authority. I am the higher authority. Did you see that? That's what I trained her. What I trained her is, you are not God, I am. Now, she doesn't know that there's a God above me at that point. I'm the only God she knows because I'm God's appointed parent. Do you see that? I'm the parent that's been appointed by God, and so I have authority from God because he's been present with me. He has also taught me through his voice, and he's also thumped me on the hand a few times. So I have learned in my own way that when God says no, at least I have to have some guilt tied to it when I do it. A little nervousness goes through me. A little conscience comes up. Oh, Dad said no. And so she tends then to be hesitant from that moment on to do anything without checking to see whether I give a yes or a no. I said, okay, Dad. You know, and she will check with me. And Mom can tell you that's how Kara was raised. And Kara was exceedingly obedient. Now, I don't mean she never did wrong. I just mean, even if she did, she felt horrible until she got it taken care of. She could not just go on her merry way. She had to give an account. She would always check over. Mom, is it okay? Da, 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 da. So we trained her to listen to, obey, trust and obey. Your parent, you trust. You don't trust anybody, but you trust your parent. In fact, you don't trust anybody else. You're only going to trust your parent. You don't trust the devil, you're only going to trust the Lord. He's the one that created you, made you, nourished you, cherished you. He was the one from the beginning. He was there, and he's the one that first taught you the word no and associated that with pain. Do you see this? So when that's done, no discipline yet, no rod of correction, just simply the word no, followed by a little thump or a little hit like this, nothing serious or severe. Y'all follow me? Now, when you raise up a child in that manner, that's called training. Chanak or chanik. Or, in Greek, paideia. So that is a form of child raising and training, which is so valuable and so important that all the spankings in the world cannot control that child if you didn't train them first. All the spankings in the world, all the rods in the world, all the prison sentences in the world, all the hatred of people in the world cannot train you or discipline you unless you've been trained in a loving environment by a loving parent. Did you hear what I just said? So training takes place at home. It doesn't take place in an orphanage. It's very hard to train a child in an orphanage. Not impossible, but very difficult. Because you don't have the same nourishment or care. There's 30 children. It's not going to be the same. But training in the home, where there's only the parent, there was only Peggy and I at that time. So we were a family of three. We were close. We rolled on the floor. We giggled. We laughed. We played. We did everything. So there it is. And that was a joy. But it was also a great joy for me to establish the higher authority that in this world, though you don't have any understanding right now of why I'm saying no, you just know that I'm saying no. It might be because I don't want a truck to hit you someday, and when I say no, I want you to stop. It might be because when we go into a store, you might pull a can off and the whole can will hit you in the head, and you know, so on and so forth. You don't know why I'm saying no. You just know that I said no and that there was a consequence to it, and I tied it to a voice command. So when we hear God's voice, we often don't pay any attention to him, or we continue exactly in what we wanted to do. You have grown up without any training. You need to be trained in the ways of the Lord. So that means there's authority to his presence, there's authority to his voice, and there's authority to the fact that a trusted person with higher authority has told you, no, I want you to obey. We taught her all of that. That's called training, paideia, or training, chanak. So chanak, or training, is train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's true of Kara. Kara today has seven children, and because she's disciplined and trained, she knows how to discipline them, or if she doesn't, she calls us. Dad, what do you do when they do this? How'd you do us? I know you did something. What'd you do? And I've told this story before, too. Sorry to repeat it, but it's the truth. When I went there, I said, oh, it's not a problem at all. Give me 10 minutes with your oldest son, and I'll train your family, your whole family. What? You can do it in 10 minutes? Yeah. Took him downstairs. I didn't discipline him with the stick. I didn't instruct him. I just simply trained him. I trained him in the way he should go. Stephen, you are the oldest son. I don't know what age he was then, 12 maybe, whatever age he was. And I said, and since you are, you're the leader. And God has established you as the leader of the children. You're going to be the one they're going to follow, the littlest one. And I think they were 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, and so on and so forth, because they had them all every 2 years. And so it was kind of easy to remember for the most part. Anyway, so they'll all look up to you, and Hannah, and each one's going to look up to you. So since you're the only boy, and you're the oldest one, God has assigned you a very heavy responsibility, a weighty task, but I know you're up to it. So now I'm training him. Calm voice, teaching him what to do in the same exact way. So I took a rag, I remember there was just a sock on the back of the couch down there, and threw it over across the room. And I said, go get that rag and bring that to me. So he looked at me and checked that over. And, okay, it's a game. So he goes over, picks it up, and brings it to me. And I said, I forgot to tell you, you say yes, sir, when you do that. Or yes, ma'am, if that's your mother. So I threw the sock again. Stephen, go get that rag or sock or whatever it was. Yes, sir. Wonderful. Smile on my face. It's pleased me. Did you see how easy it was? Pleased me. Then I called his mother. I said, and I told him, you know, when the kids go in the store and they start running around, you be the one that stays right with mother. You tell the other ones. You do what mom says and so on. That'll be your job. you do what I say. Unquestioned obedience. No discussions, no understanding, no nothing. Just do what I say. Did you see that? You could do the same with a dog or a cat or a horse or anything. You can do it. It's just simply training. You train dogs, you train horses, you train children in this way. Train up a child in the way you go. I'm just showing you the right way. There's nothing to it. And so I came down, I told Mom, to Cara, my daughter, I said, okay, he's trained. He's trained? Yes, whatever you tell him to do, he'll do. Go ahead, do something. Well, I don't know what to do, she said. Well, throw this sock. That's what he knows how to do, so just throw that sock. So she threw the sock, and I said, and he knows exactly what to do, so tell him, go get it. And so she did, and she repeated it. And so now he's seen us, he's observed us, he's heard us, and he goes and does it, and it's not a big, it wasn't egregious to do, it was easy to do, but he was just trained right there. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go into all that I did, because I took the daughter down next, and the oldest daughter, Christina, trained her in the same way. Is you will never disobey your mother. When your mother says something, that's the end of it. So that was it. Grandpa did that in just 10 minutes, trained both children, and now the family was in order. And then I called up a week later to ask how he was doing, how was it, how was the leadership going in the family, and so on and so forth. And you understand how serious this is, and so on and so forth. And reinforced it, right? That's training. No discipline. I didn't spank. No instruction. I didn't instruct. I didn't tell why or how or anything. Just I want absolute attention, absolute obedience, absolute, higher authority that you're going to submit to. And he was happy to do it. They were not unhappy to do it. In fact, he felt good about it. Felt very good. I'm the leader. I'm the one training the others. And to this day, he gets A's and, he's a good student and, well-behaved and so on and so forth. Now, training doesn't mean you don't need discipline. Oh yeah, you're going to need discipline later. You're going to need a spanking later. But that's going to come later. So training is not discipline. Discipline is not instruction. They're all different. And I could even make it more complex, but I'm going to keep it very simple tonight just to make the one point of training. And so when you train someone, you train them in these ways here where there's authority to your word. There's authority to your presence. There's authority to the relationship of trust that you have so that they obey. They do what you say. Now, Mark, would that when we preached in church, people had that training in their background that when we gave a word from God with authority, people would immediately respond rather than dump their bowls. Or you have to say it knowing they won't do it. And you have to then play all kinds of manipulative games because we have trained our people not to listen. And for example, today, if you are an entertainer, people will come, but that doesn't mean they'll obey. But they'll come to the meeting because you entertained them. So they depend upon every minister looking like an entertainer. You have to wear a certain kind of clothing and swing down from the thing and whatever and have smoke come up and have, camels come in and stuff like this. You have to entertain them like children because they have never been trained. And so now they have big video things and parking spaces for newcomers and they do all kinds of things to train them to be spoiled brats. They're not obedient at all. And the fact that they have 10,000 members only means you spoiled 10,000 people. But there's no holiness. There's no. They don't say anything negative. They never say negative things. They never say, we're going to fast for the next 10 days. They will not do it. And if they did, they would be out. And the people would depart from them. So they've just been taught to be indulged. I have not taught you so, and I won't teach you so, because I don't believe that. I believe that training in righteousness is something very powerful. And the way you do it is not painful. It's not painful. But it's associated with the fact that there's authority to it. Now, the authority then can be backed up with discipline, the rod. And then that can be followed by the staff. The staff of instruction follows the rod of correction. The staff of instruction follows the rod of correction. I'm not teaching on that tonight. I'm only teaching on the word training. So when you train up a child in the way he is, he should go. This is what, this is the vision. This is what, see, how can you discipline Stephen when he doesn't know what you want? But I just told you what I want. I want you to do what I say. And I want immediate obedience. Do you remember it said in the Gospels that Jesus said, come follow me, and they immediately dropped their nets. They immediately left all and followed him. Do you see that? That's authority. That is training. We do not have such training today. People today would go, well, let me go and think about it. Well, let me see, you know, and so on. They are not, there is no authority today because there's no training. So you can trick people, you can manipulate people, and you trained them to do that. You train people that when you raise your voice, then you mean it. For example, if I were to yell, people would think I had more authority. So if I yell loudly in church, people immediately pay attention. Oh, wow, he yelled. So just the decibels of my voice, I could manipulate and trick and bring in hundreds of people. I don't know if you're aware of that. All I have to do is sink to that level and train them that when I yell, it's God. Did you know you could do that? I'm capable of doing it. I know how to do it. I know how to entertain. Or you huff and puff. And if you do that, they know it's the Holy Spirit. And God said. And when you do that, you can train your people. Pentecostal people are trained exactly to do this. They know, wow, he was really anointed today. But it goes nowhere. It has nothing to do with reality. Now they depend upon that huffing and puffing. And when the guy goes home, pass the butter. You know, I don't think so. That is completely artificial and you have trained nothing. This is not the training that God wants in his people. So I am not a group manipulator. One reason why I am not successful in the ministry is because I refuse to manipulate the group. I will not treat you as people that are part of a class or a group or a faction. There are no factions, there are no groups in our church. And I don't ever treat you as socialists, as communists. I don't ever do that and manipulate the whole. Do you know how easy that is? It is so easy to demagogue a group of people. I'm perfectly capable of doing it. I know exactly how to do it. And I would love doing it. I would enjoy doing it. It would be a pleasure to me to do it. Because then you'd have people eating right out of the palm of your hand. But it would never be the Holy Spirit. My only job is to tell you in the most uninteresting manner of voice and so on and so forth until you learn the voice of the Lord. And then if somebody says, Pastor Jim, what you said really moved me, I know one thing. I didn't get it by wisdom. I didn't get it by some human trick or manipulation or group dynamic or some kind of dialectical processing where I tricked you into it. It's easy to trick people into it. I just used my normal voice and said it, and people could despise me easily. They could throw the soup in my face easily. And I'll take it because I know there's no authority today in the church. But God has given me wisdom. Wisdom is, don't try on Sunday morning to get the crowd or whip them up or manipulate them. Even though you may think through my words, my words are just training. I'm training them with words, not through tricks and discipline, and I'm not instructing them. But when they come to Sunday night, you have a different group. And when you come to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, house churches, other Bible studies and so on, there you have the ability to actually discipline and chasten. That's totally different. It's a totally different thing to back up that word of authority with power and signs and wonder. It's different than on Sunday morning. Do you all understand? They've been trained already, and they have to be retrained because they are trained in the wrong way. They're trained to follow a faith teaching message or a Catholic thing or a certain thing. And I won't do that. The Catholics don't have any personal relationship with the people at all. There's no relationship. They just have ceremonies, rituals. They have, you know, robes and so on. That tells that this is an authority and so on. I don't have any of that. I won't do that. I won't treat you that way. But I treat you each as individuals before God, as I did each of my family members. And I never put the children ahead of Peggy. That's another thing. My wife is always special and precious above the children. I would let the children drop down before I would let Peggy drop down. I want you to understand what I'm saying. It's spiritual. Jesus Christ will take care of his bride, no matter what. He says, I'll sell people for you. Now, the best, here's how I'm going to correct so you don't misunderstand. The best thing you can do for your children is love your wife. Honor your husband. Because when you have that unity in your family, so we did not allow our children, David's here, but if you ask them, we did not allow them to get between us. They may have tried, but we did, you know, it wouldn't take us long to figure out what they were doing, and we would stop it because our unity was more important than getting their favor, winning their favor. You can make payoffs that way. Well, if you won't do this, then I'll get one of the kids on my side. And we didn't do that. That is wrong to do. So God doesn't treat us that way. He trains us. And if the little thump on the hand is training us to tie the word no to it. If he says no adultery, I'm not going to commit adultery. Outwardly for certain, but also inwardly. Anything that God says not to do, don't do it. Now you'll have to then learn how to do that since you have a flesh. Then you may need discipline and instruction. But whatever you need, a loving father is going to provide that. I myself am not able to. I enjoyed throwing the food in my daddy's face. But my father in heaven who loves me wasn't angry at me. He was just training me. And then later he would discipline me and chasten me so that he could instruct me. And when he said something, I would obey. So we today, another thing, David will remember this. If I would want David to come and do something, I would not say, Dave! I wouldn't yell to get him. I'd say, David. Now he's waving back of the room, in you know, he's way back in the back of the house. He's back there, and if I say, Dave, he can hear it, but he may not want to, because he might be playing with videos or, you know, who knows what. And so he might call out, like a normal child would call out, what? Well, I don't believe in what. I don't believe when a parent calls with higher authority that a child can say, what? Yeah? I don't want that. So I didn't just discipline him. What I did was I taught him, Dave, when I say David, then you come to the door of the room I'm in and stand a few feet away and stand straight, don't slouch, and say, yes, sir. Is that clear? Yeah, I guess so. No. Is that clear? Yes. Good. Okay, let's try it. You go in the back and I'll call. So I'm now showing him, telling him, and putting authority to it. You can tell this is not a small thing with me. I don't want you just to, yeah, I don't want that. If you're in the backyard or wherever you are, we'll have a bell or whatever we have to do to signal you, we get your attention. You want to train a horse, you're going to have to get its attention first. You're going to have to make it stop. You're going to have to bridle it. You're going to have to hold it. Do you see what I'm saying? You want first their attention. They're like this. Yeah, you know, you're not talking. You're not. There's no relationship. There's going to be no obedience. So you have to break that person first off. If you're in the army, training a dog, I don't care what it is you're doing, you have to train people what it is you want without discipline. There's no discipline at this point. You're just training them what you want. Then, hup! Ah-tum! You know, and so what you want is attention first. So God wants our attention. He's our Lord. He has higher authority. And he says, Barbara, I want to talk to you. And you go, yeah, I'm busy right now. But yeah. No, he doesn't want that. He wants us to stop everything we're doing and listen to what he has to say. So first of all, you attend. First of all, yes, sir. You are taking it so seriously that your life comes to a halt, a stop, as you attend to the higher authority. Do you see what I'm saying? This is what you do when you love a child. You don't want them to call you from afar or to say yeah or what. You want them to stand in front of you, right in your very presence. Sir, remember Isaac and Abraham? Abraham said, son, we're going to that yonder mountain. And he said, well, you know, what for? Well, I'm going to make a sacrifice there, so on and so forth. And Isaac says these words, here I am. Here I am. Isaiah says these words, here I am. a person that is trained learns to say to God, here I am. You need me to go to, Mozambique? Here I am. You need me to go to downtown Fort Worth? Here I am. You need me to clean the toilet? Here I am. You see, we don't have people that are trained today in righteousness. We have people that are rebellious. We have people that are unteachable. We have people that are resistant. We have people that go their own way. We have people that are stubborn. Now, the rod of correction will drive foolishness far from the child. But we have stubborn children that are now not wanting to obey, and only the stick then will draw them to it. Why? They haven't been trained. Israel was not trained. Though God trained her, Israel was not trained. But that's all right. When he is old, in these last days, you'll see that that training will come back. They were trained. God trained them. They learned the word. They learned the authority. But they also saw the world and lusted after it. You have to break that. So I've told you that I bring each of you as individuals before God. You're not tied to me. You're not my disciple in the sense that you belong to me. You're his disciple. And so I don't want any credit. I don't want any glory. I don't want anything. I already have everything. I don't need anything. I don't need anyone to like me or be my friend or, they can misunderstand. You can do what you want to do. I'm only bringing you before the Lord Jesus and training you then in the ways that he's told me to do. I'm not building. I'm not a socialist. I'm not a communist. I'm not a group person. I'm not a chieftain. I'm not a guru. I don't care about group think or group talk or group unity. I don't want any of that. I want you to be tied to one and one only, Jesus. That's all. And to train people to do that, you have to retrain them from their present training. Now, if you don't listen to the words, it's all right, because God has a way of backing it up. How? By letting you go until you learn the hard way. You will learn the hard way that you're not God and you're not the boss and you don't know what you're doing. And you will learn the hard way until you're terrorized. And I won't teach you prior to the terror. When the terror comes, that's the first time you can teach a person. After they're terrorized and see and they tremble because they realize God is catching my attention right now. And how he's doing that is by letting you go. Okay, go on your own. You're a bastard. You're not a son. You're not a daughter. Because I would have trained you. But you refused your training. You didn't want your training. All right? There's still other ways. And that's to beat you with the rod until you get the terror. Are you hearing me? That's how you raise people under the law. And what are you going to produce? Hypocrites. You will never produce a loving son through that method. The discipline and instruction is not going to work if you only taught through the rod. But if God has to, he will train bastards through the rod and through that kind of instruction to make them into hypocrites. And that's all they'll be. And they'll perish. But he kept them from harming his own children. So much of the world is under God's discipline, under his, that kind of instruction is thus far no further. Now, what God wants is not a servant who will obey him out of fear, but a son who will obey him out of love. But your obedience is not your own. It's something he's trained you to listen to, the Holy Spirit, who empowers you and enables you. His own presence, that first way you were trained, is that your parent. You see, remember God in the Old Testament says this? You have forgotten your master. The 30th chapter, 31st chapter, the 32nd chapter of Isaiah. You have forgotten whose crib. I'm the one that raised you. But an ox knows its master, but you don't know who I am. But I'm the one that raised you. I brought you out of Egypt. I kept you 40 years in the wilderness. I'm the one that nourished you and cherished you. I'm the one that trained you in the way you should go. And now you've done this? And now you've turned this way? Do you all remember that? And he rebuked Israel for needing the rod of discipline so that they had to be instructed based on the rod, the fear of a servant rather than the love of a son. So he sent Jesus down to say, Jesus, you go down, and when I've beaten them sorely, and when they have treated you illy, then they will repent. Then they will repent, and then I will teach them through the Holy Spirit. So that's where we are today. So you raise your children in the way of the Lord. If you train them, you won't need to discipline them much. If you train them a few times in their life, and you win that battle, that you've trained them to pay attention, to listen, to hear your voice, to trust you, to obey you, to follow you, to be with you, to stay close to you. If you train them, then when they're old, they won't depart from it. And you will then have the kingdom of God with authority on the earth, with power and signs and wonders, and you will see the worship of God go forth. So training of a child is so important. And now let's say some of you are grandparents, as we are. You're not training anymore. That was done when they were young. If you didn't do it when they were young, all you have then is left the discipline. That's all you have left. And that will not bring them to maturity. You cannot perfect a child through discipline. Discipline only stops them. It only makes them into hypocrites at best. But it will not perfect them. What will do that? Only the love of God. That's why Jesus was sent to take those that have ended up in trouble and difficulty. I was one of them. To end up in trouble and difficulty till you're terrorized. And then it's the first time you're teachable. It's the first time you can listen. Because you've thrown soup in everybody's face. You've played the way you wanted to play. And I did. I did. And I believe a few of you have as well. As I look around this room, I believe a few of you have also been undisciplined, untrained, untaught. Even though God raised you, even though God raised me, kept me alive and so on, I didn't even know him. My people have forgotten their own maker. That was me. I had no knowledge of my own maker. I didn't know where I came from. I didn't know who I was. I was never trained. So the Lord had to train me later through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, train me later. But I didn't train my children the way I was trained because I was not trained at all. My mother didn't even try to train me. My mother was trained not to train. And she was trained to... She didn't even yell. She just didn't even know what I was doing. She was always working and feel sorry for herself and so on and so forth. And she just never had time to even discipline us or do anything. She was afraid to. And she was taught by Dr. Spock. She was taught this new philosophy of, you know, be friends to him or something or other. And, you know, in other words, she didn't have a clue as to how to child raise. And we were clever enough to want to do our own thing. And we did it. We just lived a double life, you know, whatever. And she didn't have a clue. Even when we were grown, she never did figure out what we did. There's no way she was completely oblivious to all the tricks and things that we did. But that's because of the way she was trained. Not at all. I mean, she never had... There have been no fathers in our family history for generations. There have been too many men around... But nobody who was really a father. There's no stable men. We had no stable men in our family, and the women were loose. All the women were loose. And so, therefore, there was nothing. There was nothing. So it's a miracle. It's a miracle for me, personally, that I could meet the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. And I was able to go back, save my mother, and save my father, and perhaps, I hope, my sister as well, and perhaps my cousin. I don't know. Those are the only ones that I'm close enough to and praying for, that it would be a blessing to do that. And that requires a training and a discipline and so on and so forth. So only God knows what he's doing. But I know this, the Lord loves us. He's been present with us. We've heard his voice. We've heard his voice. We're learning to trust and obey him. And then when his rod comes, it's a chastening rod and not a punishing rod. So that when you spank a child, it's actually not to destroy him, but to destroy him from being spoiled. It's not to punish him for what he did. It's to discipline him to obey the command of the Lord, because the Lord loves you. And his commands are not burdensome. His commands are a pleasure. They're pleasant. And so this training of a child in the way he should go, it's such a powerful concept in the whole world. Such a powerful concept. But it doesn't work in China. Even though there they have sons, they're like servants. They may even love their parents, but it's still a distant, impersonal relationship, even though they're made beloved. They're actually, by their culture, unable to have that intimate relationship because of the nature of the gods, the nature of the philosophies, the nature of the teachings. So nowhere in the world do you have this teaching that Jesus is giving us here in the Old Testament and then in the New, of how to raise up a child in a way where they're happy but not frivolous. The way that they're sober but not beaten down. You know, it's very hard today to raise children. There's no teaching or training, and certainly not in the churches. There's no way that our church included, there's no way that churches today have any discipline. They have no instruction. You know, they might get head knowledge in their head. They might get fat in their head. Oh, our Pastor Jim teaches us this and that and so on and so forth. But that's nothing. It's nothing. Because it doesn't lead to happiness or joy or peace or anything. And yes, I could manipulate people into it, but I don't want to. I don't want to. Let the Word of God do its work. Let the Word of God train us. So we are being trained, and slowly, 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 one after another, we'll get the revelation from God. This is good. If you disobey me, if you disobey the voice of the Lord, it's got to be the voice of the Lord. If you disobey that, you do it to your own hurt. But if you obey and you submit, it's to your blessing. But we ever since the Reformation, ever since we got rid of the Pope and that overruling higher authority, now we have no authority. The Pope, of course, wasn't God, so it was good to get free from him. But then, who is God? Is it the local pastors, a new pope, or you know the denominational structure? That's your pope? I mean, what? Who is your pope? You've got to have Jesus Christ as your only high priest. He's your one beloved. And Protestants who have the words, they don't have the training. They don't have the discipline. Most pastors, 99% of the pastors are not discipling at all. They don't know how to disciple. Mathetes in the Greek. They don't know how to do that. They don't know what it is. They don't know what these words are or how to instruct. Bina. They don't know how to give knowledge and wisdom because there is no discipline behind it. Raise up your children in the fear. That's the second word there, the discipline, discipleship, and instruction. You can't instruct until you first have fear or reverence for the one that's instructing you. Well, today, we don't have that. So, because there's been no training. So there's no training, therefore there's no real instruction. Yes, you can discipline people, or life can discipline them, but that doesn't mean you can teach them. They're still unteachable. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, we're going to let the television teach us. We're going to let, you know, our bellies teach us. We're going to let, you know, the society teach us. We're going to let the doctors teach us. We're going to let the, you know, experts out there teach us, and not God. But all of those teachers are false teachers, all of them. Because you cannot rule except in the fear of God. And so someday people will respect what we're doing, but we don't expect it now. Because right now we have a, you know, generation after generation trained in rebellion. And you'd have to train the parents to train the children so that there's a loving relationship behind that discipline. A father that loves his son chastens him. But without that, you're going to have a father that disciplines his son in anger. A Muslim father just disciplines him with fierce anger and they kill that son if he doesn't do right, or that daughter if she, you know, even sees a boy or, you know, does anything. Well, that's the way to get behavioral modification, yes, but that's a way to raise hypocrites. There's no independent person in the Muslim world. There's no independent person in America today. America today is being socialized, communistized, communalized. All your training in school, all your training in politics, all your training in business is all, you know, total management equality, and all this nonsense. Because everything is tribal again. Everything is groupthink. Everything is group, group, group. I don't believe in group. Groups have no rights. They have no reality. There's only the individual. The individual before God. And to do that, we have to train people to break from your tribe, break from your tradition, break from your gang, break from your group, break from all of those that give you meaning. They are gods to you. They are false gods, and they will destroy your soul. Your family is not to be worshipped. It's a place where you receive training, hopefully. It's a place where you receive love and some teaching and some moral stuff. But in truth, self-government is only possible under the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you meet him personally and have a personal, intimate love affair and let him train you and let him then discipline you and let him then instruct you, you will not have the wisdom of God or the power of God or the glory of God. So we're training up another generation. You might say, well, Pastor, you're kind of old and you're going to keel over. That's true, but I'm not keeled yet. So I'm going to stick around for a while until I am. And God might have a sense of humor. I probably have a good 20 years. I might even have more. You just never know. My teeth don't fall out, and you know, my bones don't, you know, give way. I might keep going. But one thing, if I start to feel the end is coming soon, I'm going to start writing. And I have a lot of teachings and trainings, but they're kind of piecemeal, and you couldn't organize them. You don't know how to glue them all together. And the way I say is pick up a piece here and a piece there. That's not real discipline training. But God has given me a vision for the entire world, what it's all about, the same as Paul has, the same as Peter has, the same as Isaiah and so on. And I see it clearly. And he's training me. I'm being trained by the Lord to lead in business, in politics, in society, and in the church. In every way to be trained, to put the right one first and the right one second and the right one third and the right one fourth in their exact order, the exact form of government, so that everything is found in this book. This book is a training for me. This book is a limit on me. This book is how, and I fear God, therefore I love His Word. And I everything you need to know about business is in here. Everything you need to know about politics is in here. Everything you need to know about society and mankind is all in here. But everything you need to know about the Lord is in here. And everything you need to know about morals is in here. And your spirit and your soul and your body, it's all in here. And so we need to train our children once more when we raise children to the Bible. I'm going to have a whole teaching on just Bible teaching, how you teach the faith, God, gospel, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, you know, grace, all these things. You have to teach all of those things in a fundamental, simple way. Training is always simple words for simple actions with simple rewards. A hug, or a smile. It's simple enough. When they do right, you don't need to give them a present. That's bribery. You don't need to bribe them, because then they'll need that bribe in order to do it. No, you just give them a little smile or a hug. Oh, that was wonderful. That's enough. Just to have your father's word. Now, if they get the ice cream also, that could tend to spoil them. So you have to be very careful not to do that very much. Like, now, sweetheart, all right, you're not going to watch television tonight. See, that's bribery. You're manipulating that child. Okay, you're just not going to watch television. All right, that's it. I'm going to take away that privilege. Well, they do this in prisons too. Okay, no television time for you. All right, no yard time. You know, and they can make the prisoners then have to behave themselves by forms of manipulation and trickery, and it's a new form of degraded life. It's not the right way. But we've lost our way. So we have a whole nation that is untaught right now. And so train yourself in the ways of God. Seek Him. He's made it simple. He wants your worship. He wants your prayer. He wants your thanksgiving. He wants your adoration. He wants your praise. He's told you exactly what He wants and in the order He wants. And I've taught it over and over again. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't heard that in the last 3 years. Well, I probably taught it 4 years ago. It doesn't matter. It's been taught at one time or another. We can teach everything, but you don't come to every meeting every day and every lesson. I don't teach the same thing ever, twice. I'm teaching in every place, you know, at least 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a week. And I'm increasing, it's doing even more. And David is teaching as well. There's a lot of things being taught. So everything's being taught. It's just that you're going to have to learn about it. You know, a lot of people don't know we're teaching on child raising. And people with children ought to be here, but a lot of people with children aren't here. In fact, very few are here with children. But it doesn't matter, because you can do it with grandchildren. And the tape will go out anyway. The tape will go out throughout the world. But training a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart. He will not depart from it. Israel will come back to the Lord in our day. In our day. That's a prophetic word. So I'm telling you right now, God is about to restore to Israel that original training, and now she will learn for the first time. But she's going to have to see him who she has pierced and weep. And the reason she'll do that is not because she suddenly came to her senses. It's because she's been eating corn cobs and fighting with the hogs to get them. And she's been terrorized. And she's gotten afflicted right now. And she's going to be afflicted further by her own decision to be a rebel. But she'll come back. And she's coming back in our time. And we We are the ones holding them up. They are not the ones being held up. We are the ones, through our mercy, they will learn to know the Lord, through our mercy, because they've already failed all of this. They didn't do any of this. They didn't benefit by anything that God trained them in, that he disciplined them in, and that he instructed him. They didn't benefit at all. All they are is word, you know, just head knowledge and externals and, you know, religious philosophies and concepts and ideas, but they weren't able to put it into practice. It's not what pleases God. They never learned to please him. And so now they have to go into the affliction furnace until they learn, and then come in humility to the mercy of God. And then, as they receive the mercy of God, then they'll be trained by the power of the Holy Spirit. Same as we've come. Same way. We'll all come in the same way, through faith and then through the works that the Holy Spirit has wrought. So, children are to learn obedience. How? Obey your parents in the Lord. It's the same we just taught. You first have to be trained, then disciplined, then instructed. Trained, then disciplined, then instructed. In other words, the law comes before the gospel. All right, I hope you were blessed tonight by this teaching. Simple, powerful, is great. Paideia chanak, or chanik. It's a powerful concept that God has introduced us to.